Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
Landry Jones is going to be a starting quarterback in the XFL. Does it change your mind about the viability of the league?
Well, no, because it's not supposed to be the NFL.
What's it supposed to be?
It's supposed to be football when there's not any other football on.
When has that worked?
It's come close to working a couple times. I think they just have had bad business models and bad people running them. I don't really feel confident that this one's going to work, but I do feel like, you know, at least with a guy like Oliver Luck running, it's got a better chance than those other ones. It's not going to be poorly run.
The time to trade Jadeveon Clowney's come and gone. Now you'd be getting pennies on the dollar. It's to me, whatever you get back isn't going to be worth what you lose with him. If you wait till the end of next season and franchise him again and trade him, maybe you've got something. But if I'm the Texans right now, I'm keeping Jadeveon Clowney. If there was something viable out there to trade for him, it would have already happened.
At this stage, I probably keep him for the season. But if there were a trade out there that would make you better, and the only two things would be an elite corner and an elite tackle, and I don't think those guys are available. So if they're not, you might as well play it out.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776.
Turn that TV off. They're showing Antonio Brown's feet.
You like that?
No.
Is that why you didn't like this week's Hard Knocks?
That was one reason I didn't like it. Plus, it just wasn't, I didn't find it very interesting. Highest rated one ever, though.
I'm not surprised with the Antonio Brown stuff. And they didn't really even go into him threatening to quit.
No, they just left a lot of interesting stuff that happened that week out. And it just, and a lot of John Gruden cussing, which I mean, enough. We know coaches cuss all the time. And, oh, damn ball here. What are you doing?
I'll be honest. I love that show. I know you're not into it anymore. I think it's just so well done, so good.
I just think we've been married for too long and the thrill is gone. That's what it is. You can also get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. Send a message. Aaron will respond. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real. At Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show. You know the number for that. You can watch us on Twitch and comment there. And if you so desire. Although, you know, we had a lot of Twitch people earlier when Holly was on. We've still got a few.
Yeah.
But I do think it's, I haven't decided if we're going to keep this as part of the show with people commenting, but so far so good. I mean, it seems to be working out.
Oh, Oso says your most famous friend is an RJ. And RJ does have more followers than Derek or Brothers Osborne.
It's, that might be. You know, the thing is, I think the people we know are like really big in their realms. Like RJ is huge in the gambling world, and Norman's big in poker, and Derek's big in MMA, but it's not. There's not the mass appeal kind of thing. Like, I don't know anybody who's
like a crossover famous person.
Yeah.
You know, you know what? I know who my most famous friend is. It's Bobby Bones. And when I met Bobby Bones, he was not nearly as famous as he is now. 203,300 followers. He's on American Idol.
We're forgetting the obvious here. The guy with a million Twitter followers, Booker T.
Yeah, that's a good one, too.
That's probably...
He's my most famous friend, Booker T. Yeah, I don't know if Booker T considers me a friend, but...
Well, we've gotten drunk together in Vegas.
That's true.
So, and he's done it. They've done a show with me, he and Brad.
That's true. So is Booker T famous in his realm, or is he crossover famous?
Well, I think he's famous in his realm, but his realm's pretty big compared to everybody else. Wrestling's a little bigger than poker. So, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Eli says, Gym of the Day death sounds like an inside job. there's literally like five paragraphs to that story. They just don't have anything on it yet. So, and aren't the Grizzlies tied to the Astros? They used to be. Are they still? I thought it was Round Rock now.
No, they're the Nationals minor league in there.
Yeah, that's because they got Round Rock and Corpus now for the Astros.
Yeah.
Okay. So. It's already loud out there.
I know.
I hear people laughing. So. But. Nick says y'all are.
Yeah, Bobby Bones won Dancing with the Stars.
That's pretty good. Yeah, that's crossover.
He's definitely crossover.
And Nick misstating things. Are you really friends with Booker? Y'all hate wrestling. Nobody. I don't hate it. I just don't watch it.
I don't watch wrestling.
That doesn't make me hate it. I mean, it's just not an interest of mine.
And imagine, like, you can't be friends with someone who you don't. You're not interested in their job. Like, I have friends who don't care about sports.
Yeah, I got a lot of those.
Or friends who don't listen to sports radio at all.
Yeah, I actually find it refreshing that I have friends who hate us.
Yeah.
They won't listen. But that's not, you know, again, that's overuse of the word hate, which is way overdone. So, silly take. But that's all right. 713-780-3776. I'm playing a 300-plus person poker tournament tomorrow. I'm used to playing with 20 people. Any tips?
Be very patient early on.
Yeah, there's no reason to get involved in the early levels unless you have the best hand.
Yep.
And biggest mistake people make is getting in there and trying to get their chips in first level with ace-king.
I've got ace-queen of diamonds. This is, yeah, what's the point when the blinds are like, you know,
100, 200,
yeah. And yeah,
it's there's and there will be players who are trying to play it just like they're in a 20 person tournament. Pick those off.
I will say this. I mean, you were at this tournament where it happened. The second hand of the tournament, I got dealt pocket aces, and a guy shoved all in, and I called, and I lost. I mean, it's
but that was a 5-hour tournament kind of thing. It wasn't 300 people. 300 people. But you're still going broke in that situation.
I am, anyway.
I mean, you're not folding aces pre-flop.
No.
And really, early on, if you get aces or kings, you can pretty much assume that you're, if somebody's firing at in front of you, you're probably getting it in.
But you know what? Kings, don't, I mean, if there's an ace on the board, just throw them away.
Yeah, well, I guarantee you, early on in a tournament with that many people, I'm playing kings a lot. I'm playing pretty defensively with hands like that.
Yep.
I'm actually trying to snap hands like that. My approach is more, okay, I'm going to play 4-6 of hearts and try to catch a flop with it and then snap the aces or snap the kings. Dude, you better not have taken that out of my office.
No, I was going to put it in
here. Oh, okay.
He definitely did.
Oh, okay. Good, because I brought one of those and it was in my office and I was about to get upset. So nobody now everybody knows it's in my office. Close the door for me, would you?
I thought I locked the studio door. Apparently it didn't work.
Yeah, that no good. But no, what my strategy is always try to get little pocket pairs where you can flop a set and somebody's not going to fold their kings or aces to a 10-high board. And play, I'd much rather get aces and kings later in the tournament when there's not much thinking to it. It's like, okay, I'm all in. And that's... So, I mean, that's the approach that I take in tournaments now and try to build a stack early by snapping off some big hands. But in one with 300 players, I mean, there's no reason for you to even be involved unless you have the stones.
Yep.
And then if you do, try to trap and get paid off. But I think the most common thing I see is people play it like it's a 20-person tournament. Your first level, oh, I got ace-king, and some guy raised. I'm going to shove all in. And that's not a very good strategy, and it will get you snapped, because more often than that guy's going to have the aces. But I think we're working on a record today. That's at least 6.
I still have this Red Bull left.
And the record is 7.5. It was kind of a weak one, so we give it 8. But I feel pretty good with 50 minutes left in the show that you might be able to break the record. So 713-780 ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. So what happens when your mid-stack blinds are steadily going up and you don't get chips early to toss around? So and that's the beauty of a tournament. You have to change your strategy as you go. Middle stack for me is the hardest place to be. I can play a short stack really well. I can play the big stack really well.
A short stack, you're just waiting for one hand.
A short stack is easy decisions.
A short stack and a big stack, you're really waiting for one big hand.
Yeah, see, it depends on the table. Like, if I have a big stack, I'll bully an awful lot. Especially if I'm playing against people who are middle stacks and nervous about their chips. But it just depends on the table. Same thing, though. You're waiting for another big one to get into. But
when I start bullying as a big stack is when it's near the bubble. Like when a guy's got to decide, okay, I'm either going to finish in the money or I'm out. And you can usually put those, to put them to tough decisions is pretty easy in those situations. Yeah. They've got to decide, well, there's a chance I could walk away with 0 if I lay this down, I can wait for a better hand. And it's a way to almost know what they've got.
Exactly. But I would tell you my mid-stack strategy when the blinds are going to that, and maybe it's a good one, maybe it's not, but this is what I've always done. I'll treat it like a short stack. I will not, you know, because you can't get involved.
You don't want to limp into a bunch of hands.
You don't. You just want to try to get them in with a good hand at the right time. The last thing you want to do is somebody raises three times, you call, and then you have to fold after the flop, and you do that two or three times, and then you are a short stack. So I always play a middle stack like I've already become a short stack, and that tends to get me into pretty good situations. And you know, and then especially when the blinds are getting up, if I've got a middle stack, I usually like, you know, I think I tend to be more conservative than aggressive. But yeah, you give me a big stack, and I want to test people as much as possible, especially if they. For me, the best tournament, if I'm playing well, it's like you don't notice me for about an hour because I'm not really playing anything. And then there'll be like two or three hands in a row where I get a bunch of chips, and then you look up and go, where do you get all the chips? That's kind of it. And then I'll – and most people then put you on a really tight image, which I tend to portray a tight image in most of these tournaments. But when I get the stack, that's when I open it up.
Yeah.
And they think, well, man, he's shown aces and – set of threes, and he's shown a straight, so he must have it. And it's like, no, it's king, jack, king, 10. I'm just taking blinds now and taking down pots after the flop that look dry. So, all right, 713-780 ESPN. God's Green says, don't die doing what you love. Burp record. Yeah, I don't know. I'd rather you not die here, if that's okay.
I'll try not to.
What do I have here?
Harry's.
Oh, yeah, because I got those in the mail yesterday. I got my new razors.
Mine shipped today.
And yeah, and I'm nice and clean shaven. You can probably tell for our party tonight because, guys, what I love about Harry's is how affordable they are, how convenient they are, and the quality you get. It's that simple. And if you're like me, I would just wait till the last minute with my old razors, and then I'd have to go to the store, and then I'd get one, and then I'd use it too much and cut my face up because I didn't want to deal with razors. Well, Harry's makes it so easy on you. You could get a close, comfortable shave with Harry's. And how about this? Replacement blades as low as $2 each. And right now, they're going to give you a great offer to try them out. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just use code FAOUR at Harry's.com. They believe you shouldn't have to trade great quality for a low price. You deserve both. And that's what they give you, $2 per replacement cartridge. I picked up 16. And I won't have to worry about them now for a couple of months because that's going to last me. And they keep prices low by cutting out the middleman and shipping it directly to you. So it goes right to your mailbox. You never have to do anything. Just get on the computer, phone, whatever, and then go pick them up in your mailbox. And how about this? That $3, if you don't love your shave, let them know. They're going to give you a full refund. If you prefer to shop in store, Harry's razors are now available at Walmart and Target. But try this offer online. Special offer just for the Blitzers. New customers get $5 off a trial set from Harry's with code FAOUR at Harry's.com. That means you get a razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and travel cover. Offer just $3 plus free shipping when you use code FAOUR at Harry's.com. And when you run out, remember, Harry's replacement cartridges are just $2 each. That's right, $2 each. Code FAOUR at Harry's.com.
This is the Blitz. You are listening to the Blitz on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz.
Patrick. Oh, you sound sad about it.
No, I just was reading this text from Patrick from Lucky's. I wanted to Thanos the dumbass in the quiet convenience store who had to have a lengthy conversation on speakerphone while everyone stared at him. I probably shouldn't admit I did this, but there's one guy who works on a floor higher than us that is always on speakerphone in the elevator. And I finally...
You said something to him?
No, I did not say something to him. I opened up my iTunes and started playing Pantera as loud as I could and kept acting like I couldn't figure out how to stop the phone.
That's clever. I'll allow it.
I'm like, sorry. And, you know, I could have just said, dude, I don't want to hear about the boil on the bottom of your foot. You know, I really don't.
Oh, I'm interested in that.
Yeah, it's because you like things like that. But, so is that a dick move or is that a... Because, I mean, it's about... I gave him four times.
What it is it's you... It's called a double dick move.
Okay.
It's when you see one and you say, oh yeah, you want to do that? I can do this.
Okay, I re-race.
Yeah.
So
it's allowed.
All right. I'm just checking.
I'll allow it. Hey, Aaron, do you have this audio that I asked for? How far are we away from that?
Almost done with it. Give me 90 seconds.
Okay. Yeah. Daryl Morey had some interesting things to say today.
Oh, really?
Yeah. About...
It's going to be really, really good.
About James Harden.
He's really good.
He's really good or he's the best?
Oh, well, you know what Morey's going to say. He's the best.
Okay.
So,
like the best right now or the best?
No, I saw this and I think it's just absolutely ridiculous, but that's okay. You know, All right.
Let's hear Daryl Morey.
And it's still true to this day, and I get a lot of because, you know, someone asked me who's a better scorer, him or Michael Jordan, and it's just factual that James Harden is a better scorer than Michael Jordan.
Based
on literally, like, you give James Harden the ball, and before you're giving up the ball, how many points do you generate, which is how you should measure offense. James Harden is by far number one in NBA history, and he was number one even at the Oklahoma City Thunder. So we knew he had that amazing skill to be a scorer.
Yeah, people probably aren't going to like you saying that.
People hate it. Now, the counter argument is reasonable. They say if you put Michael Jordan on a team now, he would do more than James Harden. That's possible. But if you're just saying, like, NBA history, how much, if you give this guy the ball, how much does his team score after you give him the ball before the other team gets the ball? It's James Harden. And I know that makes people mad, but it's literally a fact. So,
literally a fact, Fred.
Literally a fact.
Your thoughts on that fact?
My thoughts on that fact are this is why stat nerds are ruining sports. Because you go and you
But it's
pull,
literally a fact.
It's a fact in his mind based on this is what drives me nuts is people call something a fact. Yeah, okay, are those stats factual? Sure. But realistic? And you look at the era, you have to look at everything, and oh, by the way, that little eye test thing.
Yeah.
And it should be a combination of all those things. It really should. But
to say that James Harden is a better scorer than Michael Jordan is interesting. I mean, it's not an absurd statement.
No, and he backs it up. But, I mean, it's not a fact. It's not a fact.
James Harden as good a player? No, that's not even a discussion to be had. I mean, anyone who says that to me is ridiculous. But, you know, who's going to score more points per time they touch the ball? He may be right.
Yeah. But does that make him a better scorer than Michael Jordan based on that alone?
I don't know.
Does that make it a fact?
I don't think one way or another you can say it's a fact.
Okay.
I don't think that's fair either. I don't think it's fair to say it's a fact that Jordan is a better scorer than James Harden.
Yeah, I mean, now, to be honest, anytime anybody says anything that Jordan wasn't the greatest fill-in-the-blank, then people go nuts. I mean, the reality is there's a lot of mythology surrounding Jordan that he was not the Michael Jordan from Space Jam who could just...
Beat aliens.
Yeah, who could beat aliens, dunk the length of the court.
He was a normal human.
He was, and he had some down years, and he had some years where he wasn't as good, but everybody makes excuses for him like no other. And, the two titles they didn't win, he only played half a season, he wasn't right.
I mean, it's the Jim Brown thing. It's like, if everybody, they glamorize things from the past.
Right. And listen, Jordan was a great player. You could make a really good case he was the greatest ever, but you can also make a case for some other guys. He wasn't unstoppable. I mean, he had his stretches where he was unstoppable. But, you know, and of course, there's the who won more rings. That's the thing
That's
is.
A different discussion.
It is a different discussion, but can I just throw something else out there? That wasn't all Jordan.
I just think
that was not all Jordan. The reason they didn't win those two titles, one year they didn't have Jordan, but one year they didn't have Horace Grant or Dennis Rodman. And when they got Rodman, that team became unstoppable as a team.
I think the bigger issue is what kind of a look is it for Daryl Morey to even be having this discussion?
Daryl likes to say stuff like that. He likes to defend his guys. He likes to make cases for them and then use, you know, and he's, I mean, basically, if you just take what he threw out there, can you argue with him?
Right.
But realistically, we know that there's a lot more to it than that.
I just think even having the discussion is foolish until more happens.
Yeah. I mean, in this moment, is he better right now? Maybe.
I don't know.
We're going to, but his career's not over. So let's see how it plays out before we make that. But I'm fine with him defending his guy. I just think it's a fact. That's one fact in an argument.
Well, does that mean because who's the best scorer then in the history of the NBA? Is it the person with the most points per game?
See, but that's also a different discussion because there are some things you can quantify, like who's the home run champ? Well, that's easy. And it is Barry Bonds. I don't want to hear your crap about anybody else.
Yeah.
But the most points, does that make you the greatest scorer? We know you're the greatest home run hitter if you have the most home runs. I'm just asking. I mean, hypothetically, I don't know.
Well, here's what I'll say about it. Here's the leading career points per game record holder. So over the course of their career, Michael Jordan, Wilt Chamberlain, Elgin Baylor, LeBron James, Jerry West, Kevin Durant, Allen Iverson, Bob Pettit, Oscar Robertson, George Gervin, Karl Malone, Kobe Bryant, Dominique Wilkins, Rick Barry, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, James Harden. 16th on the list.
And Jordan was where?
One.
More points per game than Jabbar and Chamberlain?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, there's my fact. There's my stat. I'll take that.
So, I mean, points per game. I mean, I guess it's... Now, Daryl Morey would probably say that's too simple of a metric, points per game. But it's also kind of that's a metric. You know, if you're a good scorer, you score the most points, right? If you're the best scorer.
Yeah. So...
Now you can say who's the most efficient scorer.
This is the problem with stats and facts. Is that, yes, a stat can be a fact, but it doesn't make your argument a fact.
Right.
And I think that's what we're talking about here. So,
all right. I got to tell you guys about Triangle Energy. Listen, not only are they bringing the energy on Houston Dynamo game days, they're giving Houstonians the power to win free electricity for an entire year. You sign up for any power to win electricity plan, you'll receive 2 Dynamo game tickets, 2 t-shirts, and you'll be automatically enrolled to win free electricity for a year. Every time the Dynamo win a home game, Triangle's going to draw a lucky fan or customer. They're going to win a free year of electricity. You can enter a win by texting the word POWER to 77177. Visit TriangleEnergy.com to learn more. That's TriangleEnergy.com. PUCT license number 10064.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Not liking our chances of getting barbecue now.
Yeah.
The people are out there. We tried. At least we got some big city wings.
True.
So, can I just throw one last thing out there? From the conversation from last segment. Are you familiar with Arthur Conan Doyle?
Sir Arthur
Conan Doyle? He is Sir Arthur.
Yeah.
He wrote The Adventures of Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah. How about you put some respect on his name? Yeah.
He was
a knight.
He was immortalized in Shanghai Knights.
Shanghai Knights with a K.
Yes.
He's a knight.
Yeah, well, because he was in that movie, allegedly, along with Charlie Chaplin and some other things. Spoiler alert. Also immortalized in Conan the Barbarian.
Yes.
Okay, that wasn't really him. But he had a great quote about facts.
Also in Big Top Pee Wee.
Was he?
No.
Okay.
I was just, that was a fact check.
I thought he was the guy who stole the bike at the Alamo.
That is, that's Pee Wee's Big Adventure. Totally different movie.
Damn it. Damn it. I hate when I get my Pee Wees mixed up.
One is an all-time great movie, and the other one's, it's all right, but it's not an all-time great. Pee Wee's Big Adventure is a classic.
True.
Big Top Pee Wee.
It's watchable.
It's better than the Pee Wee movie that came out like a few years ago.
That's not saying much. But Sir Arthur Conan Doyle once wrote, there is nothing more deceptive than an obvious fact. So.
I don't even know what that means.
It means you have to dig deeper.
Oh.
So. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776, if you want to get in. And, man, there's a lot of non-sportsy stuff I really wanted to get to today. Hopefully, at some point tomorrow, because they'll be, by next week, they'll be boring. But just weird stuff, and we don't really have much time left for me to get into it today. I do have the 10 worst starting quarterbacks in the NFL.
The 10 worst?
Yeah.
I'd play that game.
Okay. I want to see how many you can get.
All right.
You're probably going to do really well here. Just looking at these names.
Yeah.
Now, because we don't know who's starting in Washington. Case is starting the next exhibition game.
Okay.
So
are we leaving Washington out of the
mix?
No,
Washington.
They are one of the 10?
They're one of the 10, no matter who starts, right? So I'm giving you one.
Okay. Let's go with Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Or Josh Rosen.
Or
either
Josh,
way.
The Dolphins starter.
Dolphins starter. 2 for 2, even though I gave you one.
Let's go with. I don't think he's this bad, but I think that there's enough questions that he's got to be one of the 10 worst. Lamar Jackson.
Lamar Jackson is on the list.
Okay.
That description fits a lot of guys on this list.
Is Kyler Murray on the list?
Kyler Murray, not on the list. They're giving him
They're giving him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, he hasn't gone out there and sucked yet, but he will.
Are they giving the benefit of the doubt to Marcus Mariota?
They're not.
I don't think
he deserves it. The list.
This one I disagree with because I actually think if healthy, there's something there with him. Josh Allen.
Josh Allen, also on the list.
I figured. I don't think that's deserved.
Maybe
bottom 10 is fair, but
it is right now. But of the two guys on this list, I think he and Lamar Jackson might be off it by midseason.
What about Elijah Manning?
Elijah Manning is on the list.
Okay. What about, I'm going through my veterans list now, Andrew Dalton.
Andrew Dalton, also on the list. Remember when we used to just kind of plug him right in the middle?
Right.
Yeah, he's now on the bottom 10 list.
I guess if I'm going to go with Mariota, should I go with Jameis Winston?
You should go with Jameis Winston.
Okay.
So there's only two guys left that you haven't named. You've got them all so far. So no pressure.
I would say based on what they've shown, James Garoppolo should be listed.
Jimmy Garoppolo, not on the list.
After he threw five interceptions in practice yesterday.
Practice? We talking about practice?
Who else is available to me? Nick Foles?
Nick Foles, not on the list.
Oh, I bet they say Joe Flacco.
Joe Flacco, definitely on the list, yes. Jose Flacco, as I like to call him.
Joseph.
And one more guy.
One left.
And you have one guess left.
One guess remaining. Or who am I missing here? NFC North. I don't know. I don't know who I'm missing out on here.
Well, I'll give you the hint. Jake Asman just tweeted out that he's good. That is all hashtag Jets.
Oh, Sam Darnold.
Sam Darnold's on the list. Okay. I don't know if that's fair. I think he's going to be better than that, but we'll see. As of now, bottom 10 guy.
Okay.
But you got 8 of the 10. Well, really 9. Because you would have got the Redskins.
Yeah.
So, all right, 713-780-ESPN.
I hear those Juggalo trays, Juggalo Trey fans out there. He's like, I appreciate that. Like, obviously, people are saying nice things to Trey. You're a big star. Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
I love NASCAR. That's awesome. NASCAR is the best. You're going to take a left turn.
It's a celebration of Juggalo Trey. That's what this whole party is. A celebration of Juggalo Trey. Well, and draft.com.
And draft.com, where, you know what? They even have NASCAR drafts on draft.com, so Juggy should be on there. But forget about that, because it's fantasy football time. And how about this? If you love fantasy football, you need to enter the $3.5 million best ball championship on draft. That's right, $3.5 million in real money. It's season long, no management. You just set it and forget it. And once you're done drafting, that's it. There's no trades. There's no waiver wire. You don't even have to set your lineup. Your best players get automatically started, and you'll get the best score every week guaranteed. I've been doing this all year of baseball, and I love it. I mean, my team is there. They just pick the guys who have the best weeks, and I'm winning right now. And I'm going to do the same thing with football, because it's almost here, and there's no better place to play than on draft. You can draft a team anytime you want. You can get in and play baseball right now if you want. No salary caps. That's the best part. Like a lot of sites, you go and you put together a great team, and then you look up and somebody else has the same group. Well, doesn't happen here, because you have a real life snake draft, just like you play with your friends in your season long league. So try it. You could be a millionaire in six. It could happen. In 3.5 million are given away, you could be a millionaire. Doesn't get any easier than that. All you have to do is sign up and use my promo code Fred. That's it. It's available on the App Store and Google Play, or online at draft.com. For a limited time only, you can get a free entry into the Best Ball Championship when you make your first deposit, but you have to use my promo code Fred. That's right, a free shot at $1 million just by using my promo code Fred when you make your first deposit on Draft. Just search Draft in the App Store or go to draft.com and come play free with promo code Fred.
Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. I'm actually going to go by there and get a grill when not for a while, not until we get stately Falcon Manor built,
right?
But definitely going to be getting one to take there. All right, do we have a little Hoffman on Hollywood?
We certainly do. Whitney Port, you might not be familiar with her. She was the star of The Hills. She was on her podcast this week, and she was on with one of her friends, a longtime friend, and they were sharing some stories from their clubbing heydays. And she claimed that Whitney Port once turned down an invitation to Leonardo DiCaprio's house. After talking about their wild nights back in the day, Port asked if there was anything else her guest wanted to talk about. She said, "Do you want to tell the Leo story?" Calling it one crazy night in New York, Port said she's been dying to tell people the story for ages. "Can you just validate the story, please?" she asked Cutler, who was there to watch it all go down. And she said, "We went to the Avenue, and this was the late aughts, 2009. We go to this club. Rihanna's there at the front table. You go to tell her that your ex-brother-in-law wrote the song SOS. She tells you she loves The Hills, and you're like, what? But apparently, Leonardo DiCaprio comes up. He insinuated that he had missed the week prior's episode, and your head is spinning, and he tells you that he watches The City, which is another show. And apparently, there was a phone number exchanged, and he tried to get her back to his place, and she declined. She said they got drunk, and she declined, and it's one of her greatest regrets in her life. She said, I was too nervous to do it, and then I lost my chance, and it's really one of my bigger regrets in life. She said turning him down isn't what stopped the relationship, but she told a producer for The Hills what happened, and he leaked it to Perez Hilton, and then he never spoke to her again. So you got to keep it hush-hush if you're going to bang Leo. And maybe she would have had a chance to bang him again, but it ended up not working out.
You know, that sounds like the plot of the song Jamie's Crying by Van Halen.
But, like, what a life when a girl is like, oh, I didn't bang this guy the first night I ever met him, and it's one of the biggest regrets of my life.
It is Leo. Come on.
Yeah, what a life that guy's made for himself. Let's go to Bam Margera. You heard much about him lately?
Mm-mm.
He's under arrest, bailed on rehab, and apparently decided to go to a L.A. hotel and bother some guests at the bar. Apparently, he was going up to people saying that he was being paid by their spouse to watch and see if they cheated on people and just acting very strangely, probably because he's on every drug in the world. He checked into a rehab facility last week, bailed within days, and then last week posted a video of himself getting Dr. Phil's name tattooed onto his neck. So Bam Margera not in a good place, which is really unfortunate for me because we're not playing a death pool this year. And I had him literally every year we played the death pool game, and he hasn't died yet. This might be the year. It very well could be the year, and we've got no game going. We have time for one more?
Yeah.
Okay. Could be a Marvel movie coming up about a villain, a standalone villain movie. You have interest in those?
Depends on the villain. Because, well, I'll tell me what you got.
What about Doctor Doom?
Yeah, he doesn't really do it for me.
I think he's the best Marvel villain. Mm. Marvel sucks at villains, but I think he's the best of the bunch. Mm. Unfortunately, he's always in like Fantastic Four movies, and those are horrible.
And that's the thing, the Fantastic Four movies just don't translate.
Yeah, so I mean, but I do think if they did a Doctor Doom solo movie, I think I could deal with it. Apparently, because the Fantastic Four are now firmly back in the MCU, they're going to try to do another movie.
They should quit with that.
I don't know. I think if the same people do that have been doing the other Marvel movies, there's a possibility. But as they say, where it stands
now, some things are just turds. It's like the X-Men. They should just quit with the X-Men.
You think so? Yeah. But they make so much money off of those.
I know they do, but they're just the movies suck. I mean, they're just not any good.
Marvel Studios boss Kevin Feige says he's looking forward to bringing Marvel's first family, the Fantastic Four, to a position of prominence in the MCU, which could include a Doctor Doom movie. So
I'd hate that less than a lot of stuff that they're doing.
Yeah. And that is Hoffman on Hollywood, Fred.
Do you, I don't know if you saw this. I'll just a quick add to Hoffman on Hollywood that, speaking of Marvel, they actually put together an ending that had Thanos ruling the future.
Oh.
And then decided that didn't work.
Okay.
I would have been for. I'm a big Thanos fan. I like the idea of getting rid of half the population, as long as I get to pick the half.
Right.
But
I've got some serious, I've got a serious conversation to have tomorrow. We didn't have time to get to it today, and it's too good to just make a blurb on Hoffman on Hollywood.
Okay.
But it's a Game of Thrones discussion.
Awesome.
Which we haven't had in a while, rightfully so. But
yeah, because it's
it dead. Addresses
it's
one
dead
of,
now.
So. It addresses one of my biggest issues with the last season.
Should I be worried that Tyler and ATX are taking pictures with alcohol in my office?
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely, you should.
Because one of those bottles was full.
Sorry, Fred. Sorry for your loss.
Oh, well, you know what I did get today that was a win? Big City Wings. And they took care of us before the whole party started. Houston's Wing Joint. And, guys, if you haven't tried Big City Wings, I don't know what you're waiting on. If you got a draft coming up for fantasy football, you want to catch the Astros, you want to catch any football, it's almost time. Big City Wings is a place to go. They're big on wings specials and big on sports. Official watch parties for UH games are going to be there for my UH friends. 8 convenient locations now open, and the food's amazing. Plus, every day is a special. They have something for you every single day. How about today? Double boneless wings and Texas crafts. Oh, and go try those sour cream and onion boneless. Oh, my goodness. Tomorrow, half-price appetizers, margarita madness. Saturday's $4 shots on Shot Time Saturday. They got you covered. And the food's fantastic. And if you haven't tried it yet, whether it's the wings, whether it's their burgers, they have you covered, man. It's all great. Find a location nearest you at BigCityWings.com. Follow them on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Big City Wings, BigCityWings.com.